Hello, I'm Sid Roth. I'm on location here in beautiful Redding, California, because there is literally an outbreak of the miraculous at Bethel Church. I can't believe the pastor and the staff. I've never seen such supernatural love. Even one of the members of our team said, Sid, for the first time in my life, I've seen the glory cloud. And I mean, she was wasted, let me tell you. Medical doctors are sending their incurable cancer patients to this church. That's what should happen in churches. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm sitting here with Cindy Eddy, and unless you saw these medical records that I have right here, you wouldn't believe it. Cindy, it says here, and this isn't even the most recent report, that there is a past history of dyslexia with 13 reversals, and I can't even read some of these other words. What basically happened to your brain?
Well, I was born with severe brain damage. I came way too early. I was premature. And my mother had difficulty during labor, and so I had brain damage. And they didn't understand the extent of it until I was about 13. I couldn't read or write.
You could not read up to age 13?
Right. I couldn't read.
All right. It must have been kind of hard in school. They must have called you dumb.
Oh, yes. I got called dumb, stupid. I didn't care about school, and yet I wanted to learn. I was willing to learn. My mother would sit down with me and try to do homework with me, and it was like for naught because I couldn't learn. And she knew something was really wrong, but no one could explain it to her. And then one time she saw on TV, she saw this list of items that if your child might have learning disabilities, to bring them down to this clinic and have them tested. And so she took me down there, and they discovered that I had learning disabilities, and the reason why I couldn't read and write is because I didn't see things as most people see them. I saw things like backwards and jumbled up, and so they sent me to handicap school.
But you had some other problems in addition to that. You heard voices.
Yes, I did. I heard voices all the time.
Did you think that was normal?
Yes, I thought everyone heard these voices.
I can see why you would come up with that logical conclusion since you heard
voices. Right,
voice.
I heard them.
All
they
the time,
there.
Did you hear them? Or
yes, they never were quiet.
Like as a little child?
Yes, from the time I can remember. And
what would they say to you?
Oh, they'd say, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're worthless, or that person's out to get you, and so you'd better do what they tell you to do because you'd better submit to them, or things could get worse, things could be worse for you.
And better submit to the voices?
No, submit to the person who was around you, whoever it may be. It might be a teacher, or it might be anyone, everyone. It was submit to everyone else, but do not take my own authority over anything. Just stay still, be quiet, and do whatever they want you to do.
And in addition to all of that, you were abused sexually.
Yes. From the time I was real little by cousins and family members and then friends of the family.
Did you tell your parents?
No.
Why?
I was too afraid to tell because some of them would tell me that if I did, it would kill them, emotionally, and I believed them. Or other people told me they would kill them and my family members in front of me and then kill me.
And it looked to me like the deck was stacked against you. There's no way you could end up being normal with an environment like that. What changed these things in your life?
Well, I've always believed in God. I've always prayed. I've always believed that He was there. I always spoke to God. I always knew He sent His angels to protect me because my life was in danger so many times that I felt angels there around protecting me. And there were so many times when I should have been dead and I wasn't. And so as I grew up, I just grew up thinking everybody went through something, that everybody had their stuff. And they were going through the same thing I was going through all the time, because that's the world we live in. That's what I believed. And so...
What did you think about the world we live in?
I couldn't wait to die and get to heaven, because
it
was going to be much better in heaven than on earth. Hell was here on earth.
I mean, already. I can just picture what you're saying, and having voices just pulling you down, mm-hmm. an abusive situation at home, being told you're dumb and actually believing that you're dumb because you did have something physiologically wrong with your brain. I've
right.
got all these reports. Mm-hmm. So, again, what changed this roller coaster to destruction?
Oh, God changed it. I started going to church when my second husband left me, and I started going to church, and I got counseling, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and I just didn't know that He wanted a relationship with me. I'd always spoken to Him, but I didn't know that He wanted to be the love of my life, and that He wanted to have this awesome relationship with me. I didn't know it was two-way. I thought it was just me talking to Him, and I didn't realize
most people, you know, are that way.
Yeah.
Why mm-hmm. why is it? Why do most people think that God can't speak to them?
Usually, I just thought that He wouldn't be interested. And I found out different. I found out His love, and He wanted to pour out His Spirit on His people. And just His love. Like the first time I was prayed for, I had this awesome vision.
What?
Oh, it was awesome. I was about 6 years old, and Jesus was holding my hand, and there was this field of wildflowers, and it was all in beautiful colors, my favorite colors, purple, pinks, and blues, and they
I
were
can
really
see.
High. And they were so high, and Jesus is standing there, He's holding my hand, He says, "Would you like to walk with me down this field of wildflowers?" And I just looked up at Him and I said, "But Jesus, I can't walk down there with you. The flowers are, they're too tall and I'm so little." And so He went, shoosh, and He made me a path. And He said, "See," He says, "anytime you feel angry or sad or lonely or want to be loved, just take a walk with me down this path of wildflowers. And I made it all for you." And so...
Just out of curiosity, do you ever take that?
Oh, yes, trip? I have, and at yeah. all different ages. And the last time I was grown up, and I can go there anytime. I can visit anytime I get sad.
How do you feel when you walk in those wildflowers?
Oh, in the awesome presence of God, just love that is beyond understanding.
Well, what happened with those voices that you would hear constantly that would pull you apart, tear you up?
Oh, I got delivered.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. Okay. We're going to be right back after this word.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hi, I'm Sid Roth. I'm having such a good conversation here with Cindy Eddy. I didn't realize you came back, but I'm glad you're here, because everyone's on the edge of their seat and they want to find out, Cindy Eddy, you had brain damage, you couldn't read, everything was jumbled up, but you finally figured
yes.
out how to read when you were how old?
13.
But I imagine you didn't read too well.
No.
Could you remember much?
Oh, I couldn't remember anything that I read. I mean, I would start one sentence, and by the time I got down to the second sentence, I had forgotten what I read in the first sentence, so I had to continuously go back, and therefore, I had to concentrate really hard just to even read from the right side of the page, mm. because I tried to always start from the right mm-hmm. and go to the left.
So did you ever hold a book up to the mirror?
Yeah, that's how they taught me how to read at the
really?
Handicap school. They just held books up to the mirror.
Yeah, you went to the handicap school.
Yeah, for 3 years. It took them 3 years to teach me how to to function.
Okay, I asked you before we had that break about what did you do about that voice of say, I mean, and this was really an intelligent voice telling you awful things.
No, I went and got prayer and from my pastor. I was having counseling with him, and he realized that I was hearing voices, and he kept asking me, he says, do you hear voices? And I thought, no, I thought that was for some people that had some mental illness. And I said, no, I don't hear voices. And so then he'd tell me what the voices were saying, and he said, you're hearing voices. And I said, but everybody hears these voices. Mm. He says, no, Cindy. And he prayed over me, and the voices were gone after he prayed, and I kept going like this.
Why?
You know, because I just heard the voice. They were gone. And I'd been delivered from so much, and I'm there, where are they? And he thought this would take 9 counseling sessions just for healing. And God did it in a half an hour. It was, I had anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, and it went.
You know, as you're sharing that, I can feel the presence of God just in, like a river. It's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm. Cindy, I must ask you this. What about the fact you can't remember a name, you don't, by the way, you can't remember one thought after another. You're doing very well for someone that can't remember anything. But what? Yeah. How did that change?
God healed me. I came here to church on...
This is the Bethel Church where
Bethel
we're doing
church
this.
At January 2nd, 1998. I remembered a date.
No, I can't. No, that was the part of your brain that was missing.
That's right.
Was you couldn't remember
That's
any
right.
numbers.
I couldn't remember numbers, names, just so many things. And so I came here, I got prayed for, and God gave me an awesome vision of healing. And he asked me, I was on this operating table, and Jesus was at my head, and there was an angel on the right and an angel on the left.
Wait, when you say... Help me out. What do you mean you were on an operating table? Was this
in
a vision?
In the vision that I had after prayer. And it was awesome because Jesus asked me, he says, why didn't you go up and ask for healing? When they called for people to come up for healing, why didn't you ask for healing of your dyslexia?
Why didn't you?
Well, it was a part of me. It was my identity. That's who I was. I didn't know that you could even ask for healing for that. I mean, I asked for healing of cancer, been healed of cancer, autoimmune disease, cervical cancer.
You were healed
through
medicine?
Well, I had surgery, but God healed me. God healed me during surgery because when they found the cancer, it was this close to my uterus. And God just took care of it because I should have been dead 2 weeks before that.
Okay.
So,
what else has he healed you of?
Autoimmune disease.
And what is autoimmune disease?
It is I had connective tissue disease, scleroderma, and Raynaud's disease, and it was also affecting my eyes.
How do you remember these terms?
Oh.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Go ahead.
Go back to the vision.
Yeah, I guess we better go to the operating table.
Yeah, the operating. Let's get back to the operating table. So I was on the operating table, and God said, "Why didn't you go up for healing?" I said, "No, it was a part of me." And so I said, "I didn't think so." He says, "Well, I want to heal you of dyslexia. Do you want to be healed?" And I said, "He says, are you ready?" I said, "Oh, yes, Jesus, I'm ready." Well, then I had some fear, and I started to get up off the table, and he says, "No, it's okay. I have someone praying for you at your feet right now." And he showed me this man at my feet praying for me, which later I found out there was a real man at my feet praying, and God had told him to stay there the whole time. He didn't know why.
Really?
He just stood there the whole time praying, and then when I got up, God released him to get up. And so God said, "I want to heal you." And I said, "Okay." So I finally accepted healing. He commanded the angel that was flying with it. This angel was flying with its hands cupped the whole length of my body on the operating table. And the other angel on the right was just staying there hovering over Jesus. And so then he commanded the angel to put that part of my brain that was missing and put it in place, and then Jesus started doing surgery on the part of my brain with all the disabilities. And so he says, "There, you're healed. Now go testify of me." And I said, "Go testify you? Okay." And he says, "You still do not believe I have done this." And I said, "Oh, I didn't even know that I didn't believe it." And he said, "I want you to get up, I want you to run, and go read a page in your Bible. And I said,
could you normally read a page in your Bible?
Well, it would take me a while, but I couldn't.
You'd be persevere. Would you understand what you were reading?
No, usually not. It was real difficult understanding.
Okay.
So.
And what about running?
Running, I said, God, run. I usually, after I get prayed for, I can't usually just get up and run.
Why?
And because I'm usually so much filled with the anointing, I just can't get up, you know, that fast. So he said, run. I said, okay. So I got up, I was obedient, and I ran, and I picked up my Bible, and I opened up my Bible, and I opened it up to Psalms 2, 3, 4, and 4, and that's the safety of the faithful, where it tells about the safety of the faithful. And I opened it up, and I automatically went to the left side of the page. I mean, I didn't, without even thinking, I went right to the left, and I just started reading, and it was flowing out of my mouth. I did not have to concentrate hard at all.
What would you normally do? Go to the right side?
Oh, go to the right. Why? And then I'd have to, because that's how
the
my,
dyslexic
yeah,
thing.
And that's how I would always read. I'd start at the right, but then I'd have to concentrate really hard. Oh, no, you got to go to the left. And so you go through this whole process. It takes forever
and
to just to read
to,
one sentence.
You didn't have to do
no,
all this
No, I just
jump.
Open it up. And I started reading, and it started flowing. And my friend Susan was there, and she was watching this. And I said, God, heal me of my dyslexia. And
wait a second.
Heal me.
Cindy, you couldn't remember one thought after you said another. You're just telling me everything like shotgun, boom, 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 boom.
I know. What,
Cindy,
God.
What's my
it's
name?
God.
What's my name?
Sid Roth.
We're going to be right back. I want to see her read. Don't go away.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hi, Sid Roth again. I'm enjoying myself so much on this interview. Come on, visit with us. I'm talking to Cindy Eddy. And Cindy, you had 21 brain dysfunctions based on testing where?
At Shasta College. I went back to college to, I wanted to get a teaching degree for special education elementary school children. And so they tested me during the summer. And,
how'd you do on the 21 tests?
Awful. I failed them.
And every one of them?
Yes, every one of them. And the counselor came in and she didn't want to tell me that I had done so miserably because they were hoping that I'd be able to work on the special computers for people with learning disabilities and brain damage. And she said, well, she says, you can't work on our computer program, so you need to change your curriculum to something like maybe you could teach Head Start or something. And I said, well, why? And she says, because the part of your brain that does math and geography, which you need to take your CBEST test, is actually missing. It doesn't exist. And therefore, if it existed and you were in an accident, say a swimming accident or something, then we could work with the damaged part of the brain. But since it doesn't even exist, we can't do anything for you. And I insisted on trying, so I went.
Cindy. Don't tell me the exact street name, but what is the number of the house or apartment that you live in?
The number is 625.
And tell me the last four digits of your telephone number.
5914.
Read from the Bible for me.
Okay.
And you, when God told, when you had this surgery, and did an angel, who replaced this brain? Was it Jesus or an angel?
Jesus. Jesus commanded the angel to put that part of my brain in, and he then did surgery on me.
Okay. And the biggest shock is you went to the Bible, and for the first time mm-hmm. in your life, you didn't have to do all these mental exercises
right.
to be able to just read right. normally.
Right. I just read it. I just opened up the book, and I read.
Read something to me.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of the heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Okay, Cindy, I know you can read. You read just fine.
Yes.
How did you feel, and how did people react when you were able to read for the first time normal?
Oh, they were shocked. They were shocked. They were more shocked that I've been able to memorize scripture.
Come on.
Okay. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
And before you had this surgery by the Lord, not by a human, could you have memorized that?
No, I would mix everything up. And that was a scripture that was in one of my Bible studies. And I just struggled. That was a scripture that really meant something really to me, just to be still and know that He is God. And I could never get the whole thing all straight. It was always, I'd put the be still at the end, and I'd put exalted among the nations, and I just would mix up nations and earth, and I just mixed it all up, and I couldn't get it straight. And I knew that scripture was so special to me, and so therefore, that was one of the first ones that I memorized.
What would life be like now if the Lord hadn't become real to you and did that supernatural surgery on your brain?
Oh, I'd still be miserable, wanting to die, because that's what I did. I couldn't wait to get to heaven.
Now, you pray for people. Do you like to pray for people?
Yes, I love to pray for people.
Tell me one person you prayed for that you were able to see the results of.
Oh, one person was this lady named Elaine, and it was here at Bethel, and it was during a service, and we were almost done with worship, and she came up to me and asked me to pray for her leg. She was supposedly going to have surgery for amputation. And so I started praying for her, and I kept praying, and then God showed me that she needed to forgive someone, that she had bitterness towards someone. And so I asked her, do you have any bitterness?
Now, let me ask you a question. When you say God showed you, did you just have the thought? Did you hear His voice?
Yes, I hear His voice. He tells me.
He told you that?
Mm-hmm.
That she needed to forgive someone?
Yes.
All right, and how did she react?
And she says, oh, yes, that's it. And so she forgave that person, and then God began healing her leg. And God healed her leg, and it was during Pastor Bill's sermon, and I'm like jumping up and down going, Jesus, thank you, praise you, and I was praising God for healing her. And so I said, did God tell you to go testify of Him? And she goes, oh, yes, He did. He told me to go testify
of
Him.
How did you know?
Because God told me.
Okay, obviously.
and she was having trouble with this because she didn't want to interrupt Pastor Bill's service. And I said, come on. And so Pastor Bill says, what's going on back there? Because we were rejoicing.
Listen, someone that's about ready to have a leg amputated is going to rejoice, let me tell
that's
you.
Right. And so I says, God healed Elaine's leg. We need to testify. She needs to testify. So we dragged her up, and she testified of what God had done and that how she needed to forgive people. And then God...
Forgiveness is important.
Yes.
To receive healing. I mean, I've noticed, for instance, I believe that if our viewers were to forgive everyone that ever hurt them, and then if we were to agree in prayer for healing, they'd be physically healed.
Yes.
I really believe that.
I believe that.
As a matter of fact, right now, that's what I'd like you to do. You see, Jesus said, I will forgive you with the same degree you forgive other people. So how much do you want to be forgiven by God? At 99.9, you won't go to heaven. I will forgive you with the same degree you forgive other people. So I want you to say, I know they don't deserve it, but did you deserve forgiveness? Listen, Daddy knows what's best, and what is best is to do what the Bible tells you. That's His will. So say this prayer with me, dear God, out loud, right now, where you are, say it. It's going to change your life. Dear God, please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed in Jesus' name. I choose to forgive everyone that has ever hurt me of anything. Now, Holy Spirit, tell them the names of the people they need to forgive. And just as names come forward, you say the names of those people. Just say them. I choose to forgive these people in Jesus' name. And now, in the name of Jesus, I command your back to be healed. I command all pains to be gone. I command all viruses destroyed. I command cancer spirits out in the name of Jesus. Heart conditions healed in Jesus' name. Blood pressure normal in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And be filled with God's precious Holy Spirit.